Good morning. David Donnan on behalf of the appellant, Ms. Lister, and I'll hope to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Lister asked this court to reverse her felony stalking conviction because of faults in the information and in the failure to ensure unanimity in the verdict. Ms. Lister herself, as I'm sure the court is aware, has also sought to file a statement of additional grounds in which she has identified both a confrontation issue in the 911 tape's admission, or Ms. Honey's 911 tape, as well as concerns with regard to the appellate record and her inability to get those, and we encourage the court to consider those thoughtfully. Specifically with regard to the stalking, we argue that the charge omitted an essential element, that is, that simply stating that her conduct violated any protective order protecting the person to be stalked was not sufficient, that cases out of this court, Tremaine specifically, require that the hold that the no-contact order itself is essential to prosecuting the violation, and that in doing so, because of the specific nature of the domestic violence prosecutions in these circumstances, quote, the culpable act necessary to establish the violation of the no-contact order is determined by the scope of the predicate order, and for that reason, this court specifically held that the information must include facts sufficient to identify both the protection that's involved in the order as well as the court and the nature of the order itself, either by date, by cause number, and that sort of information, because it's the order itself which defines the culpability and therefore the scope of the criminal conduct.
The state offers two counterpoints. First, saying those cases, Tremaine and Kaiser, that you've relied on are violation of protection order, not felony stalking. There's a difference. And secondly, that if you read Tremaine closely, and especially as amplified in Kaiser, it's a disjunctive observation. You can either identify the specific protection order or identify the victim of the protection order. Kaiser says, well, that's a fair reading of Tremaine. What's your answer to those arguments?
First, with regard to this is a different statute, I just don't see a material difference because what must be proven ultimately is exactly the same. That is that a court issued a valid order and that the defendant in this particular case engaged in some conduct which violated that order. That's the essence of the no-contact order statute, and that's the essence of this third felony element of the stalking statute. With regard to the fact that Tremaine uses the disjunctive, I believe it's because it indicates the need to identify exactly what it is that the problem was. There was nothing in Tremaine except for a reference to the specific statutes which were available to issue. Here we do have some information in that we have identified the alleged victim of the stalking and presumably the protected person, but we cannot determine the scope of that conduct or what would be criminal in that conduct without identifying the order itself. And I believe Tremaine and Kaiser both indicate when read that that is the nature of the essential information that must be provided in these particular circumstances. That is the information which defines what is would otherwise have been legitimate and lawful conduct. And that's why this is fundamentally different, I believe, than the felony murder circumstance which the state attempts to compare it to as well. Because what is otherwise lawful conduct, that is driving down Alki Boulevard or calling a hotel or having birthday presents or flowers delivered to someone, doesn't become criminal until it's specifically defined so in that order. And that is why it is necessary to define the order in order to and identify the order in order to establish the scope of what is otherwise then prohibited by that order. And that is something that does not exist in these particular circumstances. And I think it's important to look at the Supreme Court case that the state cites in particular, Koswitz, 2012 case in which Justice Chambers authors a concurring and dissenting opinion and specifically identifies both the importance of identifying the facts which are involved, and in this case those facts, we would argue, include the order itself, and why that particular line of cases that the state cites with regard to felony murder are most appropriately very narrowly construed, that they are inconsistent with the development of the law both since Leach and Van Gerwen Durbin and all of those cases developed, but even more fundamentally inconsistent with what we understand the nature and the requirements of proof to be following Blakely, that under those circumstances, in cases like this, where one incorporates a statutory violation into another statutory violation, simply citing that statute fails to satisfy the notice provisions that have developed in Washington, both constitutionally and, as Justice Chambers indicates, under the court rules and developing practice outlined by the court. In those particular circumstances, then, it is necessary and, in fact, imperative to identify the order which is allegedly being violated.
I want to make sure you have time to get to unanimity.
And I'll turn to that because I think it is important in this particular case. While the information simply says five separate any order, what ultimately is offered by the trial prosecutor are five separate orders. And the state argued, we argue in turn then, that that creates a unanimity requirement because it is essential in order to support the conviction that the jury tie the unlawful conduct with the particular order in question. And here there were questions of fact and law with regard to each of those. Ms. Lister herself disputed the very extent of the order and whether or not her particular conduct would have been accepted under these particular circumstances, questions about the time and the scope of those particular orders.
But stalking is not a multiple acts crime. Stalking is a continuous course of conduct crime, is it not?
I don't read it as a continuous course of crime under the case law that the state has cited, because what the state cites indicates to me, and I'm just quoting from, I believe it's Handren and Love, which is also in the one the state relies on, multiple acts tend to be shown by acts that occur at different times, in different places, and even to different victims. In this case, Weissman and his granddaughter are identified at separate times. This is a statute that requires at least two violations or two acts in order to do it, and then everything else after that is gravy, but it's fundamentally gravy for the prosecutor. But it's fundamentally different than, for example, child porn, which the state also wants to compare it to, where it's a possession offense and the offense is never completed. Here, the offense is completed. The stalking offense is completed the first time there are two the felony stalking. First time there are two.
Why isn't possession completed as soon as you have it for a measurable period of time?
It's completed, but it is continuing. That offense continues.
That seems to me that's the same as stalking. It's completed, but continuing. The gravy you describe.
But
what's the difference?
You've
done enough to prove the crime, and then you just make it worse by continuing that behavior.
Because I think you have completed that, you go away. There are enormous numbers of times here in which there is a separation between the contact that occurs. Some of it is very specific, but the nature of it.
I keep the photographs at my friend's house, and I go over and get them and come back.
I'll think about it, Your Honor.